Right. If we, there is one. We have a quorum, but I need one more. So where is the prophet? If we could turn the camera on, then he will know that we are ready. There. Thank you. Good people up in the control booth behind the mural.
Yeah, that where it is?
They're right above us. They're right above us. Like
Joseph up there.
Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. Yes. Thank you to the City Council. I apologize for the need for being late this morning. I would like to move consideration of the 4/5 agenda item, and then we will get to the time certain. So I motion to hear the 4/5. Is there a second? It's hereby known as 767-1. So I'm moving consideration. Carly, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Motion is approved. Eloise and folks, would you please come forward? And my apologies, we did not get the paperwork in on time. But we want to make sure that we keep the continuity of our efforts to ever improve on our already great arts and culture local offerings.
Should you read the title?
Please.
767-1, appoint Verlia Briggs and reappoint Jesse Gleason and Mary Higgs to the Regional Arts and Culture Council Board of Directors for terms to expire June 30, 2013.
Great day. Ms. Damrosch.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm delighted to be here. As you know, we have a rigorous process at the Regional Arts and Culture Council for recruiting new board members, and of late we have had some terrific successes. And I'm here today to introduce our latest brand new board member, Verlia Briggs, and hope that you will enthusiastically welcome her to RAC. Verlia has an MBA and 28 at least years of utility experience. She oversees the promotion of energy efficiency to PGE customers, and she educates and advises PGE customers on energy efficient technologies, Energy Trust of Oregon incentives, and Oregon Department of Energy business tax credits. Before she joined PGE, she worked for a gas company in Illinois and always dealing with energy issues. We're looking forward greatly to having her energy on RAC, as well as helping us with our new developing sustainability plan. So she's going to be a great benefit to us. She is very active in our community and serves on the boards of Human Solutions and Black Women of Peace. She's been a volunteer with Oregon Ballet Theater, and I think you'll probably hear about why in a minute. Junior League of Portland, Multnomah Athletic Club, Friendly House, and Kids on the Block. So I would like to introduce you to Verlia Briggs, and I'm sure she'll tell us something more about herself.
Good morning. How are you this morning? I'm excited about this appointment. I think it's an honor to be a part of it. My husband and I and our son moved from Chicagoland. And the first thing that we were acquainted with here in the Portland area was Art in the Park. And we thought that we had never seen a city that had such robust art and culture around what happens. And this was in the early 90s when we moved here. I'd love to see that type of enthusiasm around art. I believe it's a part of the culture. I believe in what the RAC board is asking for in vision, leadership, and service to integrate arts and culture into the community that we live in. I think it's an important part. We think of healthy families, and we think of arts and culture, and we think of education, and I think that's really important here. Our son was a dancer for Oregon Ballet from second grade up until he had to go away to college. So I'm real familiar with the arts here. Spent many hours with James Canfield sitting in trying to be a good mother in the background of being behind stage at the Keller. So I know the importance that it makes in a child's life and in people's lives to be a part of arts and culture. And I think it's important, and I applaud the city for having such a program and focus on that. I think it's a big part of our community and should be and continue to be.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your willingness to serve. Your background is, we're very excited for your background and your enthusiasm, your experience being part of the RAC board. So
thank you.
Any other questions? Anyone wish to testify on this matter? Carla, can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve, and certainly you have an impressive background. Pleased to support you. Aye.
Thank you.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you to all the volunteers and to Eloise for all your good work. Aye.
Thank you.
Well, Ms. Briggs, welcome to the RAC family. And since you mentioned OBT, my daughter and I were in Director Park Monday afternoon and watched a dress rehearsal.
Oh, wonderful.
Well attended and really terrific. And I also want to acknowledge that in this action today, we're reappointing Jesse Beeson and Mary Higgs. And I know Jesse very well because he also serves at the Housing Bureau on our Portland Housing Advisory Commission. So thanks to Jesse for re-upping, and we're delighted that you've chosen this service. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adams.
Aye. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We appreciate your willingness. Thank you. All right, that gets us to the time certain. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 743?
Declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street, multi-use path, and stormwater improvements in the Southeast 33rd Avenue and Pardee Street Local Improvement District.
Mr. Abbey.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and council members. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. On my left is Aaron Jansen, the city's fire marshal. Before we start with the presentation, I've passed out an amendment. We've received additional petition support for the project, and Carla's passing out copies of the amendment. And if we could move the amendment and take a roll call, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
So moved. Second. It's been moved and seconded.
Oh, wait. Can you just explain what the amendment is?
The amendment simply accepts additional petition support and updates the map and the calculation of support for the project to reflect that additional petition support.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll wait for Carla to get back to her seat. Carla, would you please call the vote on the motion?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Carla. If we could switch to the presentation. Special thanks to the IT guy that got this working this morning.
Joseph.
Here's an overview of where the project is. 33rd and Pardee of the block south of Holgate. It's in the Reed Neighborhood Association. Here is a map of the petition support for the project. The properties whose owners have tendered petition support in favor are shown in green, and properties whose owners have not tendered petition support are shown in a tan color, and then we have three exempt properties, which I'll explain more in a moment. 33rd and Pardee are among the 2% of streets in the city of Portland that are dirt and gravel. Most of them are in East Portland or Southwest Portland. It's unusual to have a street like this so close to the center of the city. So wanted to do a LID overview for you and a cost comparison. When I first got my call on this project back in 2008, I looked at the zoning And if we were to go by our usual standards, we would have proposed a 32-foot wide street. I pulled out an estimate from a 32-foot wide street project from a couple years ago. The cost to the property owners on that would have been $1,726 per centerline foot. I'll be explaining the innovative scope proposal that we came up with, but we were able to come up with a dramatically reduced cost estimate for the property owners with no acquisition of right-of-way. Now, I want to emphasize this is not a cheap project. This is a cheaper project. I do feel that it's a very cost-effective proposal for your consideration. One of the constraints that we have is that on Part E Street, we don't have anywhere close to a 50-foot right-of-way. The maximum right-of-way width is 20 feet. So, recapping petition support, we are at two-thirds petition support for this LID, adding waiver support. We're up to 75% support. That's an increase from what we had at the time the resolution was filed. In terms of the 25% non-support, roughly three-quarters of those have previously expressed an interest in street improvements. You'll be hearing from one of them today who did not tender their petition support. But I want you to know that we've heard a pretty consistent message from the property owners that we have some problems here that need solving. And I think the pictures show why. You can see that on the left and the right, there's Part E Street. One of the property owners calls this Lake Part E. Takes a long time for that water to drain, pretty much a lake all winter long. Now that it's summertime, the water is gone, but when you drive down the street, your vehicle high centers when you try to drive down the street. Center picture is Southeast 33rd Avenue. You can see it's dry in that picture. One of the property owners with whom I met who didn't tender petition support commented that in the wintertime, water collects there at the low spot of elevation. This is moving on to another street in Southeast Portland. One of the discussions that we had initially with the property owners is could we improve Part E and not improve 33rd, because clearly Part E is in worse shape than 33rd. Shortly after we had that first meeting, I was called by a property owner on this street, and I went out and looked at it. This is a street that had improvements going up to it from either end, and this was the result. So after consultation with colleagues in the Bureau of Transportation, the strong engineering recommendation was not to leave a gap in the middle that doesn't get improved. Now what I wanted to do is just take you through very briefly some of the properties in the LID. The largest share of the LID is to what is collectively known as the Holgate Center, includes the Friendship Health Center, Kenilworth Park Plaza, and the Oddfellows Retirement Center. I think the main issue for this property is that they have 3.5 blocks of frontage along their back fence, and it's unlit, it's dark, and in the words of another property owner, it's a hangout party zone and a bathroom, and it's not a very good environment conducive for their either their employees or their many residents who live there or stay there. A key aspect of this project is we would not be acquiring 15 feet of right-of-way on both sides of the street. And the 15 feet of right-of-way on the north side of the street would wipe out quite a bit of the Holgate Center's off-street parking and then would disperse the vehicles all over the neighborhood. Now, moving on to the property with the next highest share of the assessment, it's on the corner, it's on the southeast corner of 33rd and Part E. It's got over a block of maintenance responsibility on a dirt and gravel street. Pretty much the same issues as what the Holgate Center is dealing with, and it does have some future development potential. This property, along with the Holgate Center, are among the properties for whose owners have tendered support for the project. You'll be hearing today from the owners of the property at the southwest corner of 33rd and Party. They did not sign the petition in favor. Pretty much some similar issues there. There is some development potential with an existing garage that doesn't meet setback requirements were either relocated or removed. It's a 10,000 square foot lot in R5 zone, so it has development potential. We currently have a leaking non-conforming private sewer in the right-of-way of Southeast 33rd Avenue. One of the things that this project would do would be to extend the public sewer And so that would be something that the property owner would not have to do under a permit job. After review with BES staff, we felt that it would be more cost effective to build the street and the sewer extension together. And then just moving on to property at the corner of 33rd Place and Party. That particular property, the land sloped downhill from Party. You can see the stormwater collecting there on the street. The property owner there expressed concern about that water in the future making its way down to the property and damaging it. And then just to kind of recap all the properties on 33rd, not on Party, but on 33rd, you can see there's varying levels of maintenance responsibility. The property, the widest frontage of 75 feet, so people have a pretty wide lots there, which usually makes the project really expensive. I'll talk in a minute about how we brought those costs down. One of the property owners on the street apparently uses a wheelchair, so we would like to build something that improves access for persons with disabilities. Just to kind of quickly recap the outreach on that, the first complaint I got on the project was a little over 3 years ago. We held a meeting last October, and since that first meeting, I've had one-on-one outreach with all but one property owner in the LID that's been very useful. Even though we didn't get unanimous support for the LID, I feel that we've come up with a much better project scope than what we were originally looking at, which was 32 feet wide with lots of right-of-way acquisition. Mailed the petitions in the spring. We had a second property owner meeting. I've held open the LID for 2.5 months, waiting to bring it to council until we got more resolution on that leaking sewer issue. I want to emphasize to council that if you approve this resolution today, it doesn't actually form the LID. I know that at least one property owner couldn't be here to share his thoughts on the LID. So if you approve this resolution today, we'll come back next month. You would vote to actually form the LID. And I'm certainly sensitive to the financial concerns of the property owners in the LID, and the timing is such that if the LID gets approved, we don't expect to construct it until 2 years from now, and property owners would not see a bill until spring of 2014. So I showed you the pictures of what the street looks like now. This is what we're proposing for Southeast 33rd Avenue. It's what we call a community street concept. We've never done one of these before. It was something that we had looked at doing in Southwest Portland. We thought it would make a really good fit here, and essentially what we do is we build the pedestrian ADA facility just inside the curb, and it avoids us having to tear down fences and build retaining walls. We think we can probably avoid building retaining walls. And then moving on to Pardee Street, where we have the wider right-of-way to the east, we would build a 14-foot multi-use path that would be engineered to a depth sufficient to allow fire trucks to use it for emergency access. And the path on 33rd connect to the path on Party as well. And so what we're really trying to do here is to de-emphasize automobile traffic. This would be new and innovative. This would be the first time we've done an LID to take an existing right-of-way and build a pedestrian improvement, bicycle improvement, instead of building a street improvement for cars. So that's just a recap of the LID, and Erin Jansen is here, and she wanted to share a few thoughts, and I'll be happy to take any questions she might have.
Mayor, commissioners, despite that this proposal doesn't meet our general minimum width requirement, given the zoning, the existing development, and the limited use in this area, we believe the proposal that Andrew is putting forth is a sound improvement, and in this situation actually greatly improves emergency access for us. So we'd like to offer our support.
So the the traditional, can you just summarize again, the traditional width is 33, and this is down to?
Well, in this area, if we were to go by the rule book, the zoning would say that we got to build a 32-foot wide street. This is proposing on the east end of Party 14 feet.
Okay.
On the west end of Party, we would now build 6, effectively a sidewalk, because that's all we have room for. But in the future, if those properties redeveloped, they'd be required to widen it to 14 feet. And I should also add, this does not set a new standard. This is a pilot. Property owners wouldn't have any further obligation to do frontage improvements. But we think that this will work very well in a right-of-way constrained environment.
And then the cost is for the 32 is normally what, and it will be?
I mentioned that in one of my slides here on the PowerPoint presentation, but I looked at an estimate from a couple years ago of $1,726 per centerline foot. This was far cheaper, $777. I think that's a lucky number in Las Vegas, but it's quite a bit cheaper. And I would also state that in some respects understate the cost savings, because the 1726 figure for that 32-foot wide street was in an area where we had the available right-of-way. You look at where the 15 feet slices through private property, it goes through houses, buildings, parking lots, et cetera. It would just be incredibly expensive to try to build that, and it would destroy the very neighborhood that we're trying to improve here.
What question?
Yeah. So on 33rd, you mentioned there are party line sewers that would also be addressed when that work actually happens?
Is that yeah, what and I've, in the past
or
couple
non-conforming sewers, I guess.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Past couple of months, I've gotten a crash course on BES sewers, and I've learned that, no, it's not a party line sewer. It's a non-conforming sewer because there's a private sewer in the right-of-way. And one of the questions I was asked the project manager in the very beginning is BES came to me and said, do you want us to include the cost of extending the sewer? And we had done that over on 87th and Columbia when we had built that intersection, and it was so much cheaper to just get that sewer done at the same time we were building the street. In my mind, it was a no-brainer. What I did not want to do is to improve 33rd, wait for that sewer, which at that time I didn't know it was leaking. I didn't want to just, you know, hope that it was in good condition, have it blow up in a year or two after we got the street improved, and then go in and cut up our freshly paved street. So marginal cost of extending the sewer when you're doing the street is pretty small, because the contractor's already out there doing the excavation and everything else. And just to be clear for the record, you'll hear from some property owners today, they can do it under a permit job. It's just when you do that, you've got to get the money up front. This way, the LID, you wait 3 years to pay, and then you can finance. And obviously, there's a higher cost to doing the LID than the sewer repair. You do a permit job, do the sewer repair, you still got, in this particular instance, 200 feet of unimproved frontage that still is a future liability.
Okay. Thanks, Andrew.
All right. Let's go to testimony. Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have four people signed up. The first three are Ken Diber and Sarah Shellhorn and David Foster.
Come on up. Sorry. You just need to give us your name, who you're representing, and you'll have 3 minutes, and that clock in front of you will help you count down your time. Welcome.
Well, thank you. My name is Sarah Shellhorn, and I live at 4617 Southeast 33rd Avenue.
I'm Ken Diber. I also live with Sarah at Southeast 33rd Avenue. And just to clarify, is it 3 minutes total or each of us?
Each of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
David Foster, 4609 Southeast 33rd Avenue.
Who would like to begin?
I just want to say that we're just now learning about the new costs and the fact that Andrew Abbey finds $777 per foot cost effective is kind of amazing to me, because we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that we just simply don't have. Ken is going to read what we prepared to say.
Great.
First of all, good morning, and thanks for your time for listening to us today. Sarah and I feel that there's no aspect of this project that benefits us. We live on 33rd Avenue, so we oppose this proposal. We have some reasons why. First of all, Andrew Abbey just said that mostly this is going to be benefiting pedestrians and bicyclists. And so we don't even live on that street that is going to happen. So one of the things we'd like to propose is you exclude 33rd Avenue from this proposed LID and possibly consider Party as a separate LID from 33rd Avenue. Before this new petition came in, which was actually a house that was just sold within the last 6 weeks to somebody out of state, that's the latest petition that just came in, which bumped this percentage up today. We did not know about that. Prior to that, only six of the eight property owners were against this, if you included two waivers that had existing on them. They were not in favor of this. So you only had the community home on Holgate that was for it, and you had one property owner that was for it, and that's one on each street. So from a percentage standpoint of the owners, it's a very small percentage. It's just they have a lot of linear footage with that huge duplex business, basically. Andrew Abbey also has basically approached his business and said, hey, we're going to reward you for your poor construction and design of building a parking lot and basically a city street, which I think is absurd. And he's going to allow them to keep that. And that basically was the reason they signed the petition. So, and they've got 300-plus linear footage, which is a huge percentage of this project, and they're one of the three petitions. So I don't think that that does any benefits to any of us homeowners that don't have the capital that this business does to afford this project. Originally, the project was just for Southeast Party at Dave and Brenda's property line, and now it's been extended all the way down to this bike path. Between 31st and 32nd, there's already a paved pathway there of 7 feet. So he's proposing to basically put another paved pathway in where one already exists. So there's no improved benefit whatsoever there. Also, there's three property owners bordering that alley that have for some reason been excluded from this process. So we would have to pay for their path, which makes no sense to us either. Let's see here. Sorry, I have a lot of notes here, so I'm doing I can with the time.
You're doing great.
One of the main things we had was safety issues. By putting a baluster at the end of Party, that's going to force more traffic down 33rd Avenue and basically create a one-way street. So from a safety standpoint, we feel that more traffic equals possibly more safety concerns. And also, he's going to talk more about his safety issue, but there's going to be a bottleneck at their property line where all the pedestrians and bicyclists are going to have to funnel down to their narrow street right at their property where their cars go out into that street. So there's no way they can turn their trucks or cars into a bicycle lane and avoid that. It's just not possible. I only have 6 seconds left, so thanks for your time. And I wish I had more time to talk because I have quite a few more things that I could say.
Well, I'll give you some extra time.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Which property is yours, just as we look at
4617 33rd Avenue? It says Shellhorn, I think.
David and Brenda will probably talk more about, but they've proposed different ideas to Andrew Abbey, in particular towards Part E Street, and he has disregarded all of those. One of the ones, when we had a separate meeting of the property owners recently, that we mutually all felt was possibly the best option, was simply a logical option of a buyout of Southeast Party, which would address all of the safety concerns and eliminate the section of unimproved roadway from Portland. So you'd actually have, that would no longer be a public street, and you could take that off of your list of streets that you'd, in essence, want to pave over. So that'd be a benefit to the city from a PR standpoint. It would also allow the Grand Lodge properties to keep their parking lots, in essence, and that would probably be the most cost-effective way of making everyone involved really happy, and it would exclude 33rd, which is the street we live on. Andrew Abbey also mentioned in his PowerPoint presentation that there was two meetings, one held on April 26th, which is the second meeting. We were excluded from that meeting. We were never invited and found out secondhand from our neighbors, just casually walking my dogs in the street. How come you weren't at that meeting? Well, we didn't know about it. Where we did receive the letter for the first meeting, and everyone else in the neighborhood received the letter as well. So I think that raises some questions in our minds about that.
Okay. Hopefully I've given you another minute and a half.
Okay.
Hopefully it allowed you to air out some of the key points.
Thank you.
You bet, sir.
Yeah, my name is David Foster, and I appreciate you guys listening to us. And once again, to get you up to speed on this project in 3 minutes is ridiculous. I can't even begin to get started here. What you've heard is a one-sided story from Andrew, and that's it. And then you give us 3 minutes each to respond to this, and it's not going to work. First off, the Holgate Center on the other side, they are the full benefits of what is going on for this current proposal of LID. They will be excluded of any acquisition of property in the future. And they will be excluded from any liability in the future. They have a 6-foot fence that goes from one end of 33rd Place all the way to 31st. They don't use that property. We do. We are the property owners. If you look on the other side of that map, we're the ones who live there. We're the ones who are going to be affected by this. They will have 100% zero liability, where our liability will be increased. We brought this issue up long ago when we first moved here. We didn't know the problem that we were going to have with the pedestrian bicycle traffic with our driveway. After a couple close calls, we started making calls to find out, hey, something needs to be done. The bridge is out here. And we got nowhere. Well, sorry, there's nothing we can do because it's an unimproved road. Our next step is an LID. Well, the LID was supposed to resolve these issues for us. And after all, we're paying for it. And what we end up with is a compromise because the Holgate Center will not be a supporter of an LID if you take acquisition of their property. But you cannot provide safe access for pedestrians and bicyclists, skateboarders, and whatever traffic else is on there, along with motorized traffic. Now, if you think you could put a 6-foot fence up on the middle of the one of these downtown streets and provide both two-lane traffic, pedestrian traffic, I've seen walkers, wheelchairs, and dogs, moms, and strollers going up this. It's dangerous enough. That's what brought us to this point, was we need to do something about the safety issue for this because we are liable. It wasn't until it came up at the meeting that the Holgate Center, we were all liable because it's an unimproved road. Holgate Center is definitely in favor of this because they are the sole beneficiary.
Could I ask a clarifying question? I just want to make sure I understand. I understand the concerns about cost. I understand your concerns about safety. Is the point you're trying to make that this should be wider or this shouldn't happen at all? I'm trying to figure out, because I could draw either conclusion from your
order. I understand, because without being there and just being where you are behind that place, listening to me and listening to Andrew, you really don't have a full understanding of what we're talking about. I'm trying to explain.
But if you would take, instead of using your time to say that, and say, explain to us, because we are relatively able to understand, what is it you would like to see happen that will be helpful?
This experimental pathway, and because it is a street, is now being addressed as a path, a multi-use path.
What would you like to see happen?
I would like to see it wide enough. If you're going to make it, improve it. And you would have to make a safe access for pedestrians and for bicyclists.
What does that mean?
And for motorists.
What does that mean? On the ground, what does that mean?
Well, versus you would have to either widen the access.
Take property from the business.
From whomever is needed.
Okay.
If you're going to make a safe access, you have to widen it. Now, if this is approved, they will no longer be liable for
but
any other additional.
We hear these LIDs a lot, so we're not claiming to be the expert of your sidewalk, but we do hear these a lot. Concerns about affordability is a concern to us. That's why this particular concept is intended to be more affordable, and you can argue whether you're arguing that it isn't going to work, I think.
It will not work.
Okay, but the alternative is it's wider and more expensive, and you're going to pay more.
No, not necessarily.
Okay, so what is your alternative?
There are other alternatives. If you don't make it wider, then you could either vacate it to where there is to limit the access so there is
I understand. And then we get into fire marshal issues, but we can hear from her.
Well, as far as the fire marshal issue goes, I asked the Station 52 come down and overlook that area. When they came, they drove up to my property, and I asked them, is this the current access you would take to get to this property, which was around Schiller?
But assuming that you understand you're putting them in a tough spot, they're not. They don't enforce the fire code. The fire marshal does. And assuming we need to have access for fire apparatus, so if you can assume that, what the mayor and I are trying to draw out of you is what would you like to see happen in terms of a development that this proposal does not do?
Well, there can be as far as in, I mean, you're bending all the current rules and going with a street that's never been proposed. As Andrew said, I'll have a one-of-a-kind street in Portland.
I'm going to try with somebody else. Can you just succinctly say what you'd like to see developed as opposed to this?
We would like to not be a part of it. We don't see any benefit to our property.
33rd, we see no benefit.
It's just inexpensive. sidewalk to us, and it fills potholes for almost $800,000.
So the benefit you would get in front of your property line is zero or a sidewalk?
We get no benefit.
We get no benefit.
No benefit.
And we only feel...
We don't have potholes. We don't have to drive by
We have
potholes.
No benefit.
We only feel that Oddfellows is for it, or Oddfellows, the Holgate Center, the big business is for it, because they don't lose their parking lot. But if the proposal was for them to lose their parking lot, that would probably not be green.
I mean, Abby even indicated in his findings in response to our letter that he just included 33rd out of convenience and because it brings more revenue to the project. We don't have potholes. We've lived here for 8 years. We put gravel every few years. It's fine. I don't need to use Party at all. And this would block it off with a bollard, and I wouldn't be able to drive on Party anyway.
Thank you.
You asked for a solution. I mean, other than widening the road, and if you did vacate it or something creative like, but you can have an easement through there to where it would still give access to the fire. It doesn't necessarily mean that emergency vehicles wouldn't be able to use that access if it was needed.
Thank you very much. So, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
We have two more. Brenda Gunderson and Leah Lockwood. Come on up.
Welcome. Ms. Gunderson?
Thank you. I live at 4609 Southeast 33rd with David Foster. And we actually did ask about getting the road paved back in 08, right after we'd purchased our home, but we didn't understand the costs associated to that. And as soon as we learned what the costs were, then we were definitely opposed. What started out seeming like a collaboration for a community, to me, seemed more like coercion in the end. I saw the addendum that was submitted to you guys, and there's a lot of communication that's been left out. Maybe you have copies of it, but there's been private meetings that don't address everything that's been said here. when Andrew talked to me over the phone at one point, he did tell me, hey, I think you're on a nonconforming sewer, which right away we got a sewer scope and we're working on that. But he said that the sewer would be fixed with the LID and that there wouldn't be any real reason to call attention to that for the other property owners. I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, but I don't know why the other property owners should have to pay for a sewer improvement that affects my property. And we would like to get it fixed, and if the LID goes forward, we're probably going to spend money to fix it. And although I'm not an expert on it, we're also going to spend money then later. Obviously, we don't want a sewer that's leaking, and we're happy to fix it. When he talked to me at one point, I said, you know, he was starting to convince me that maybe the project would get worse later, that it could be a bigger road, it could be more expensive, it could have other issues. And so, you know, I was starting to lean that way, but with interest, I think my payment would be like $800 a month, and we simply can't afford it. And at that point, I said, and my husband is adamantly opposed. Again, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, but he said, well, it only takes one of you to sign the petition. I don't want to cause any problems, but it only takes one of you to sign. The neighbor that just recently signed support, his name's Bernard McGuire. I saw him out in the street, and I started talking to him about what he was going to develop, and he said, I don't want to develop the property. He said, I heard you guys were property developers, and there was some mention about us tearing down our garage and stuff, and we have no desire to do that. But Bernard told me, and, you know, obviously it's hearsay at this point, but he did say that he was told he would not get his permit to remodel the property to put a single-family residence on there unless he agreed to the LID, and that is what he told me. And he said, I don't want to make you guys mad, but if it comes to it, I'll sign it because I want my permit and I want to be building. So, I mean, when we approached him, we didn't know what all this would cost, and it seems extremely expensive. And since 08, the economy has gone down considerably, and I'm almost out of time here, but one response Andrew made to my comment that it would be hard for us to sell our home, he said a lot of people do check for assessments, and I sell real estate, and I know that they do that, but then they're not as interested in the property afterwards because they are accepting a lien and a debt.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Hi.
Excuse me. Have you looked into how much fixing the sewer by itself would be?
No, I don't know exactly the extent of the total problem, and I don't understand the private right-of-way portion, but in other sewers that have been completely replaced, even in like a city where it's, you pay for it, like in Milwaukee, you pay for it even after it hits the street, I think $8,000 to $10,000 possibly. And we did sign in favor of the $18,000 sewer assessment, and we're willing to bring the sewer up. We're willing to let the other guy who supposedly wants to develop connect in. But again, I don't know how all of that works.
And you live on the corner of Party and 33rd, right?
Correct.
Do you want, are you still interested in looking at either of them being improved?
Not, I would say not at this cost. And to try and, I know it's confusing to understand when you are trying to say, hey, what do you want? If we had to spend this kind of money, which is what I think my husband was saying, then at the very least we would want a little more safety. And we are confused about why the Holgate Center, no one's threatening to take away parking like they're threatening to take down our garage. No one's, and I don't know why there's property owners that are excluded, like the people just to the west of us. I don't understand why they're not involved in this by looking at the drawing. So I can see we're spreading the costs out is good, but I can also see where it's making a much bigger project for some people who can't really afford it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Hi.
Hi. My name is Leah Lockwood, and I'm actually here on behalf of Bernie McGuire, who did purchase the property. And for the record, he's not an out-of-state owner. He currently owns a house in southeast Portland.
And where is which property?
The address that he just purchased is 3316 Southeast Party, and it's right across the street, I believe, from the previous testifier, I guess.
Okay, so on the corner of Party and 33rd?
yes, and it's about 11,000 square feet. And so I know that the cost has been recalculated, but the numbers that we initially were hearing is that the property would be assessed at over $100,000 for this. Bernie is in support of the LID because he wants to be able to remodel the house. And currently he's unable to do so because he can't pull plumbing permits or improve the property because of the sewer problems. And we have been told as well that we would need to extend the sewer, which is extremely costly. And also the current sewer is leaking, so that's a whole nother problem. So I guess we feel like with the LID, we're getting a lot of problems solved at once because, as you saw from the photographs, the street is in extremely poor condition. There's trees that grow right up against the dirt and the gravel, and it's a problem. And we feel like if we're going to fix it, if we're going to need to pay for a sewer anyway, we might as well get the whole thing done at once. We also think that it would improve safety to the McGuire's property because there would be much less traffic on Party, and although we understand that 33rd would probably become busier slightly, but we think that this, by blocking off part of Party, that will almost be like a dead-end road, and we don't think it's going to be a safety hazard. We also think that because of the condition of this property, the cost of the LID is going to significantly increase the value of the property, and although we're not interested in developing at this point, we just want to remodel the house, we still think it's worth it, I mean, from our perspective. Although we understand that the neighbors who have lived there longer have obviously a different feeling on the matter. And I think that's it.
So one clarification is that the ability to redevelop or not redevelop is based on the condition of the sewer, not the road.
Well, it's actually both, because I think what would happen is once we went down to pull permits, they would make us do sidewalks anyway. And they would make us actually, it's kind of a, you know, it's a nightmare getting through BDS with this kind of a problem, because there's just multiple streetscape problems that need to be fixed.
So to clarify my point, it's a question of both sewers, and they potentially could make you add the sidewalks, yeah.
Yeah, they would.
But
they
that
would.
Doesn't require the entire LID to be done, I don't think. We'll clarify with staff. I just want to make sure we're getting to the rumor control. I just want to make sure we're getting good information, whatever the facts are. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
Andrew, could you come back up? Can you speak to some of the issues, to the issues, concerns that were raised, and give us your point of view on them?
A couple of things. One is all property owners have been invited to all meetings. The second point that I would just touch on briefly is I think that this would be a very challenging environment for somebody to try to come in and pull a permit. I mean, we talked about the sewer, but just in terms of the street work, I think if somebody came into the Bureau of Development Services, you know, we have inadequate right-of-way, so I think we would be putting people kind of in a no-win situation where we've got our standards that really call for a 50-foot minimum, and I think the staff at BDS would be struggling with what those standards would be. But, you know, beyond that, I think we've come up with a good solution that fits in the existing right-of-way.
Andrew, 50-foot minimum of what?
The 50-foot minimum would be for the right-of-way. So if you wanted to build your standard 32-foot wide street with separated sidewalks, you'd be looking at a 50-foot minimum for the right-of-way, bearing in mind that Party Street is only 20 feet. The right-of-way is only 20 feet wide at its maximum point. So I just see this as a situation where if somebody's trying to do it one at a time on a piecemeal approach, it's just going to be extremely difficult for them to do it. And even if, for sake of argument, the sewer gets fixed and maybe some of the frontage gets fixed along Part E, we've still got the other part of Part E where the sidewalk is extremely broken up, it's unlit, we've got problems on 33rd, we're fixing part of the problem without fixing the entire problem. I just think if everybody shares in the cost, there's just an exponential increase in the benefit.
The other issues raised, the potential payees that aren't getting a benefit, why were they included? And then the properties that appear to be excluded, exempt?
I have a hard time squaring the position that somebody that has 75 feet of dirt and gravel street frontage doesn't get a benefit from the project. You know, the street by the pictures looks good today. What I often see on dirt and gravel streets says somebody moves out and the new person doesn't maintain it to the extent that the old person does, and pretty soon you have much worse potholes. I mean, 75 feet is a lot of frontage to maintain, and it gets rid of a future liability to just take care of the whole thing right now. And as far as the properties on the west end of Party, the reason they're exempted is because they would have a future requirement to widen the multi-use path from 6 feet to 14 feet. And don't forget, we would be adding street lighting for 3.5 blocks, so we would light up the entire stretch of that. And I did want to make one other point. I think it's important to note that we have a pinch point right now at 33rd and Part E. There is vegetation in the right-of-way that encroaches in the right-of-way. We at best probably have a 6-foot clearance zone through there for pedestrians and bicyclists. So even without acquiring any right-of-way, we would more than double the width there to about 14 feet. And so in my mind, that resolves the site distance issues. You don't need to go to 32 feet wide to have a safe passage point through there for pedestrians and bicyclists.
So the other concern raised is about not taking, having the lodge owner, property owner, that they're not being impacted. And if you did seek to encroach on their property, that they would oppose this?
I would expect that to be the case. But I don't, the part that I was struggling with the most is I don't understand why we would go in here and build a wider street when we don't need to do that. I think we've come up with a solution that fits very well into the neighborhood without acquiring right-of-way.
If that's the case, then I don't understand why the property between 32nd and 33rd would, next to the Gunderson property would be exempt, and that yet they're included. Because that looks like the full 14-foot improvement, not the 6-foot.
In our judgment, there were probably topographical constraints that would be in the way. What we were really trying to do is to give the Foster and Gunderson access to their driveway. We were trying to put that multi-use path in there that would also give them the vehicle access to their existing garage. The property in back of them to the west takes us access off of 32nd, so they don't have that need for that access.
They still have the same right-of-way improvement on Pardee.
Yes.
And why is that?
Because they don't have a garage on Pardee, so we didn't feel that it was necessary to widen it at that point to give them vehicular access on Pardee.
Then the map must be wrong. Is the map wrong? Because the map looks like it's a 16-foot improvement to the west of the Foster Gunderson garage, and it's exempt.
No, the map's not wrong. But again, we were just simply trying to provide that access to the property that had the need for the driveway.
But the improvement is exactly the same on the two properties on Pardee, so I don't understand why one would have to pay for their...
Oh, let me clarify. So the 14-foot width just goes to the back of the Foster Gunderson property, and then it narrows up to 6 feet at that point.
So that the map
yes.
is wrong?
Yes. Thank you.
The map is wrong.
Okay, and then could you explain some more about...
The map is just simply highlighting the extent of the existing right-of-way. The map should not be construed as the width of what the actual improvements would be.
Okay, thank you. That's a good clarification. I understand that the Holgate Center initially is supportive in part because of the liability of the current state of Pardee for bicycles and pedestrians, that people could twist their ankles or fall off. But there was the concern was raised that after the improvement, the Holgate Center would no longer be liable, but the home property owners would be.
When we do a final assessment ordinance, we make findings as far as who's met their frontage improvement requirement. So the only properties that would be financially participating in the LID that would have that future obligation are the three properties to the west on Pardee.
So like the Holgate Center, if this was done, then the homeowner properties would be free of liability because
yes.
it would become a city street improved
yes.
to city standards.
Yes.
Thank you.
Andrew, could you just explain to me again the difference between estimate actual cost and estimate as petitioned?
You've got the two columns. One is shaded, but estimate actual cost and then estimate as petitioned.
Is this on the slide here?
It's in the handout you gave us.
You're referring to the actual resolution.
Yeah. We got an amendment. Carla handed out this document dated July 19th.
The estimate as petitioned is the amount that the property owners, that's the proposed share for
that's
their apportionment.
Proposed share. So I'm just
the doing total is $699,000, by the way.
All right, so I'm just doing the rough math, and of the three property owners that are opposing this, their total would be about $170,000 out of the $699,000, roughly.
That's pretty good representation, yeah.
Two of them would be $37,000, and we've heard from Mr. Foster and Ms. Gunderson, they'd have a $99,000 bill. Could you tell us again what financing options would they have to cover that cost?
Yes, so the assessment, if council approves this LID, I would expect the assessment to occur in spring 2014, and then we offer financing options for 20 years at that point.
Well, Ms. Gunderson mentioned something like having to pay an extra $800 a month. What put that in context for us?
That's a pretty accurate estimate in terms of what their liability would be. I think for them, you know, the main difference is not paying up front for the sewer repair as opposed to paying at the back end. And obviously, if the LID comes in below budget, then we will be sharing those savings with all the property owners in the LID. We can't guarantee that now, but...
I'm going to ask to do some more work.
I just have one question. There was, what would be wrong with just vacating Pardee? Is that?
I think Aaron may want to speak to that. I would just say that every time I've been out on the street, I see bicyclists and pedestrians using it. So I know we had a problem in the Powerhurst-Gilbert neighborhood where we had people walking through an area that was private property to get to a park, because I'm thinking of Raymond Park. People tend to take the shortest distance between two points, and as a city, we are trying to improve connectivity. So I think that would be kind of a step backwards. I think the other issue, too, is depending on how the vacation worked, we might be denying some property, some legal frontage, which could create some problem for them. And, you know, the lay of the land is still the lay of the land, and so I don't see the stormwater drainage problems going away even if you vacate the street.
So in terms of fire, just one last clarification. Where's our fire marshal? Did she have to go? Okay. Unless there's an objection from council, I'm going to
I'm going to continue this. I appreciate the initial airing out of it. Discussion is useful. But I want to spend some more time and also take a look for myself. So I'll go out there and walk it myself. So I think the best thing would be just to, because it's a resolution, is to send it back to my office. Does that make sense? Okay. So unless there's objection, do we take a vote on that? Or I can just do it without objection, right? Without objection, this item is sent back to the mayor's office for further work, and we'll be in touch in terms of timelines moving ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Mayor, if we can go to 766 and 767.
Please, can you please read the titles? Are they related or separate?
They're separate.
Okay, can you please read the first title?
Item 766, authorize the Portland Water Bureau to acquire fee title to property necessary for construction of the Interstate Facility Rehabilitation Project. And 767, amend contract with Shearer and Associates, Inc. to increase compensation and increase the scope of work for the Burlingame Tanks Improvement Project.
Thank you, colleagues. I will turn this over to David Schaap. This relates to our capital improvement project at the interstate facility. David?
I'm David Schaap. I'm the director of the Portland Water Bureau. With me are David Gray, the capital projects manager for our interstate project, and Mike Stewart, our chief engineer. We're here to talk about the acquisition of a piece of property for the interstate renovation project, and if you want to look at the pictures that I have. I have an aerial photo of the existing site where we are located.
So, David, I know you have, as usual, a thorough presentation. The mayor has a lot of people waiting.
Okay.
So if we could make this as succinct,
yep,
as possible. I think council has been briefed on this in advance. If there are questions, we should respond to those.
Okay. Really, all you have to do is...
Are there any questions from council on this matter?
I have questions.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I submitted you some questions via email earlier this week. I never received a response.
I sent them this morning, Commissioner.
Oh, okay. I haven't had a chance to see them then. So I guess my questions are, so we're talking about eminent domain, condemnation.
Yes.
What discussions have occurred with the property owner about this? And
The chronology I sent you actually goes back two decades. There have been discussions with the property owner since the 1990s. There have been lack of interest, and there's been interest. We have had deals that have fallen through. We have had deals that we've made, and then because there were environmental Superfund concerns, those have fallen through. We're back at the negotiation stage where we have done an environmental assessment. We do understand where we are. We're now at the negotiation stage again, and if we are not able to come to an agreement, then we would exercise our power of eminent domain.
So this has been going on for years, is what you're saying?
Since 1990.
Okay.
It actually was occurring while you were in charge of the Bureau. We checked the records.
Yeah.
It's been on and off. I mean, literally, the first negotiations were back in 1990. So it's been through several commissioners.
Owned by an individual?
It is now, yes. Okay. In 1990, it went to Mr. Alleman. He died. It eventually went to his wife, and we have been negotiating with Mrs. Alleman for the last decade.
Okay. Thanks.
Other discussion from council? Is this an emergency?
No. The first reading.
Okay. Unless there's objection, it moves to second reading next week. And then we have a second item. That's a second reading?
That's correct. 767.
Can you please read the title?
No one signed up to testify on that.
Anyone want to testify on this matter? Okay, now we can.
767, amend contract with Shearer and Associates, Inc. to increase compensation and increase the scope of work for the Burlingame Tank Improvement Project. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Again, thanks to David Schaap and his team for the excellent presentation last week explaining about this. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. We'll take a quick three-minute break to bring the people in and get ready to go.